Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Brittany's here with me as always.
Hey.
How's it going?
I really hate when you ask me that.
I know.
It's so loaded and it's going okay. How about that?
I mean, that's the best we can hope for anymore. So we are recording this on a Sunday, and the whole like Sunday night. So, you know, in regular non-pandemic life, every Sunday around like 3 o'clock, I kind of just get this like, you know, this feeling, which I've recently heard described as the Sunday scaries. But now it's just like Friday afternoon it starts. Like, there's like 5 minutes of being excited that the school week is over. And then it's like, oh, but we have to do this again.
Yes, I feel that very hard. I feel like all we do is bitch and complain now,
though. I know, but you know, I'm really trying to put on a happy face for the kids. And
yeah, my kids never see it. You just get to hear it.
Yeah,
Tyler gets to hear it.
That's why we're bitching extra lately, because we can't say anything to the kids.
Oh my gosh. Well, today we have another fun happy hour episode. But before we get to our awesome guest, we're going to take a little break. This episode is sponsored by Regency Centers.
I don't know about you, Brittany, but shopping right now in person can sometimes feel a little bit stressful. So I think that if you are going to go in person, I think the experience needs to be extra enjoyable. Regency Centers owns and operates retail properties nationwide, including 2 Northern California locations, Prairie City Crossing in Folsom and Persimmon Place in Dublin.
Persimmon Place features retailers such as Whole Foods, Sur La Table, Ethan Allen, and Nordstrom Rack. We love that they've considered sustainability as a part of their model, including solar panels and windmills to help reduce the center's overall energy consumption.
You can enter the Tailgate Takeout Giveaway now through October 16th for a chance to win a $500 gift card, either to Whole Foods at Persimmon Place or at a grocery store at any local area Regency Center property. Find the link to enter in our show notes at okayestmoms.com. Halloween is just a couple of weeks away, and no matter what your plans are, the odds are pretty good it's going to look a little bit different than years past. So if there was ever a year to do something a little bit more fun and add a little extra to your celebration, this is the year. Don't you think, Brittany?
Totally. Flora Springs Winery, a Napa Valley family-owned property, is known as a ghost winery, which is a term given to wineries that went dormant during Prohibition. To celebrate their ghost winery legacy and the family's love of Halloween, they release exclusive Halloween wines each year. A ghost winery Malbec, All Hallows Eve Cab Franc, Rest in Peace Merlot, and many others are available at their website, florasprings.com.
These would be the perfect bottles maybe to send to a friend that you maybe had to cancel plans with. Brittany and I were lucky enough to be able to try all of those ones we mentioned, and these are some of the best red wines we've had. They have the cutest labels, and they came in super fun Halloween packaging. This is exactly what you need to get yourself through another 2020 holiday.
And we're back. So I am so excited to have this guest on for our happy hour series. She is a content creator and a photographer, a marketer, a plant lady, a business owner, activist, twin mom, boy mom. She does it all. And we're going to find out how the hell she does it all. But I'd like to welcome our guest, Erica.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. This is my second podcast.
Ooh, what was your first?
It was on Blunts and Broads with my girl, Charlene.
Oh, fun.
That was my little intro. Cool. But I feel like this is my intro too, so I'm a little nervous. Bear with me.
Oh, you're awesome. Your husband has a podcast too, right?
Yes, the Dope Ones podcast. He started a few months ago. It's been taken off. He's doing his thing. So, you know, I had to hop on here and see how he does it, you know. He hasn't invited me on yet, but.
Well, I see your fancy microphone, so.
Yeah, right.
How is pandemic life going for you? You're local to Sacramento, so you're probably you're experiencing a lot of the same kind of things we are. But of course, we're all having our own individual journeys. How has it been for you?
I mean, overall, it's not much different than our normal lives that we were living prior. My husband and I both work from home. Kids are, home with us during the day. So that wasn't really a transition of us, you know, being quarantined together or anything. But, you know, we miss our friends and our family. Kids, they want to get out. And, you know, so we're okay. I can't complain, because I know it's a big transition for a lot of other people. And it's kind of like, you know, okay, little things, but you know, we're doing good.
I know. It doesn't stop me from complaining, but I do feel grateful. Like, we're not super impacted by all this. It's mostly just getting sick of each other together, which I mean, it could be so much worse.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
How old are your kids?
So I have a 6.5-year-old and just turned 4-year-old twin boys.
So fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't realize our kids are so close. So my daughter just turned 6 and my son is 4. He turned 4 in May. So So never a dull moment. But you have, I guess, a singleton, do they call them? And then a set of twins. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. That was a shock.
I'm sure you get this question all the time, but do twins run in your family?
Yes, I do get that question all the time. And it's you know, a loaded question because it's complex. It's kind of like yes, but then no, because
let me show you my family. I know. I'm always curious.
They do run in my family, fraternal twins on my grandmother's side, but my twins are identical, which is a complete random act of God. So has nothing to do with the twins running in my family part. So.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes. So identical twins don't run in the family. Identical twins is just a literal mutation, and fraternal twins is genetic, hereditary.
Cool. That's cool.
I always wanted to be a twin so bad. Like, I grew
up, I
spent the majority of my childhood, like, mad I wasn't a twin.
I used to wish that, like, my twin got separated at birth in the hospital and that we were going to get reunited one of these days.
But, yes. And then the remake of The Parent Trap did not help that at all. I was pissed.
Right? Oh, yeah. That must have been where I got it from.
And God, Lindsay Lohan must have been an idol for you, Ginger.
You know what? It really was. That was honestly the first redhead I'd ever seen, like, outside of myself. So, I mean, yeah. Now, your 6-year-old is in kindergarten or first?
He's in first grade.
Okay. How is he handling the school transition?
He doesn't like it. He, you know, it's not real to him. Like, he's not a sit down still and like watch a movie type of kid. He's always on the move, dancing, singing, jumping, and, you know, having to sit there and look at a screen for 3.5 hours.
It's hard.
Is tough for him. He's, you know, so it's like we have to be right there with him. It's not like I could set him up and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do other things. No, yeah. I have to like sit there the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Are you guys going to be distance learning all year, or I know some districts don't even know yet if they have the option to go back. What are you guys thinking?
I'm pretty sure our district said that this whole school year was going to be distant learning. They just said they're about to implement some type of day camp situation that I'm not sure about the details of how that works. You know, personally, we're not really ready for him to go back, because I mean, prior to the whole COVID and, you know, lockdown, when he was in school, he was already getting sick, like, and our whole entire family sick every other week. Like, I think he was home sick more than he was actually in school. So I was like, I'm definitely not gonna chance it this time. So yeah, we'll probably stick to that until, you know, there's a little bit more of an assurance of the details of, you know, everything that's going on.
For sure.
It's such a crazy time. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird. Like, we're like one county over from you, and we have a whole population that is like, open the schools, everything's fine. Sometimes it feels like Heather and I are the crazy ones. Like,
you question yourself sometimes, or you're like, wait, am I the crazy?
Right. One?
And then I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, since March, I feel like I've just been in this constant state of, am I overreacting or underreacting? And never knowing the answer.
Right. Yeah, so I think I saw you post something about that, how they're rallying to open the school, what, in November or something? That's crazy.
So our district has agreed to do distance learning through the first trimester. I think there was a faction of parents who were attempting to have them overturn that because surrounding districts are opening up tomorrow, actually.
Oh, nuh-uh.
Yeah. So, and our county board of supervisors has voted to rescind the state of emergency order. So basically that's been, and that also coincided with like our county moving up on the tier system, like the color system. So some more things are opening. So I think there's a large group of people that saw both of those things happen at the same time and are now thinking like, oh, everything's over. And
but I'm like, okay, it's one thing for adults who are more mindful to maybe go to the mall or something, but it's a different thing having little kids who, at least mine, are constantly scratching their butts and then touching their faces. Yep. And yep. You know what I mean? Always hands in the mouth and touching everything they could touch. Like, I just don't see how that would work. For my child, at least.
I'm right there with you. I know. Well, and realistically, how much instruction time are they getting on a hybrid schedule? They're just going to be, put your mask back on, wash your hands, you're too close, back up. And
exactly. Because that's what Zoom classes is, the whole entire time. It's like, what page are we on again? You know, I'm like, oh my God, for real? Like, so then we got to start all over. Then we got to wait for this person to find their book. And we're like 15 minutes in already. Yeah. So
you haven't mentioned already.
We take a whole year off. Like,
we love all of you teachers so much.
Oh my gosh.
If we can't say enough.
The patience. I was like, wow. Like, there's times I'm in class, I'm like, wow, she's amazing because I don't have it in me. I was like, she is a saint. Like, the patience, wow. Yeah, it's, I give them so much credit. And especially with the distant learning, especially with little kids, you know, and like, some of them are just independently there. I'm like, wow. Yeah. So
yeah, they're doing an incredible job. And
they are.
Yeah. Can't say it enough.
So at the top of the show, we mentioned all of the things you do. How do you balance it all? How do you take care of yourself? What does your self-care look like in a pandemic?
Well, I mean, as far as balancing goes, I don't even know what that means or looks like, to be perfectly honest. I feel like our routines and just way we do things are constantly changing. Everybody's had to change with the pandemic, but like, our kids are getting older, so they're requiring different things. Our businesses are growing, so we're requiring different things from ourselves and having to constantly readjust. So, I mean, honestly, I'm still trying to figure out that balance. But thankfully I have an amazing husband partner who, like, you know, he like gives me my breaks, you know, like he will take initiative and be like, okay, you know, why don't you just go outside for a second? Or why don't you go take a bath? You know, like, real nice. So, you know, I appreciate those things.
He knows me.
Yes. And, he knows that, you know, when mom's happy, everybody's happy. So
damn right.
So, I mean, well, I recommend baths. I've been taking baths with my iPad and just watching shows for maybe 2 hours, you know, I might do that.
It's my favorite thing to do. Talk about it all the time. Heather gives me shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
jump on it. Jump on it.
You know, okay, so here's the thing. I'm like 5'9". I'm pretty tall. And we actually just talked about this a while ago. So baths for me are either like my boobs are out because my legs are in, or my knees are sticking out and then my boobs are in. And there's like nothing sadder about than sitting in a bathtub naked at this point in my life, like after two kids. Like it's just like,
lots of bubbles. Come on. There's lots of bubbles.
You have to have all the bubbles to cover it all up, because it's just not, it's not relaxing to just.
No, I feel have you. I kind of was like that too. I was like, oh gosh, I have to like really be all up in myself. But then I was like, after I was like, I don't care. Like I'm just out here and just lay it out and, you know, put my little bath salts in and I'm chilling. I actually have like dim lighting too, so I don't really have to like.
That's Oh, okay. Maybe that's the trick then, because mm-hmm. I mean,
just my bathroom light. Yeah, the little separate bathroom light, so it kind of goes like a dim little thing.
Smart. Okay. I'll give it another try with that. But I mean, after breastfeeding two kids, like the last thing I want is just to look at my boobs just floating in the water. I'll try it again with lots of bubbles and ambient lighting.
Yes.
The mood has to be just right.
Right. So Erica, your blog is called Okay, I'll Give You My Opinion. What was your inspiration behind that? And how did you get into content creation?
Well, I've always been opinionated and I've always been a creative. I knew I wanted to do something. I didn't know exactly what, you know, the lane was going to be. Just I always knew I was a creative person. I went to school for graphic design and visual arts. And when social media marketing and influencing and content creation kind of started to pop up, I was like, oh, like, what are these people doing? How are they doing that? And it was around the same time too that I had my twins. So I was also at a crossroads where I'm like, okay, I can't even, you know, do my freelancing work from home with them. Like I can't get anything done. So this was kind of something where I could combine my kids and my creative juices. And, you know, people are always asking me advice. I just know so much random stuff for some reason. I'm always researching things. I'm always looking stuff up. And then, you know, I talk to people and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. How'd you know that? So then I just, you know, it's like, why don't I write a blog about it? Why don't I, you know, start writing about these things. So that's kind of where that got started.
I love it. Do you know about the Enneagram?
Yes. My results are inconclusive because
listen,
I don't think I did it right. Like I did like a quick one and then I was like, I don't know if this is really me. And then I just haven't had time to do that full like 60-minute one yet, but yeah. I need to though.
It's funny because as you're describing yourself, I was like, oh, you sound like a six. I'm a six. And so,
okay. I think I might be a six though.
So, okay. You sound like one.
I just might be in denial of those things that they were saying that I'm like, so.
The whole thing is if you like the number that you get, then that's probably not your number.
Okay.
Then and really you have to like read a lot about them to like be like, okay, this is really me. Tests are good to like get you started, but reading more into the numbers is really how you figure it out, and no one else can do that for you.
Right. Yeah, no, I do want to though, because I'm really into just self-discovery and, you know, learning what makes myself tick pretty much, you know, and why I do certain things. So
I'm the same way, and I've really loved the Enneagram.
Yeah, Brittany got me hooked onto it. And I liked it because you can, it's somebody else using, like describing it. Cause I never know how to describe myself. And like it, the way it explains, I'm like, oh yeah, totally. That's me 100%. And so.
And then you ask somebody and they're like, no.
Shut up. It's about me.
Oh goodness. Okay. Can we talk about plants?
Oh my gosh, yeah, we could talk about plants all day.
I've already noticed your plants in the background.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love it.
How many plants are within an arm's reach of you right now?
Like 30.
I
love it. I have so many questions. So we're actually, Heather and I are very, very novice plant ladies.
Excuse me. I would like to be upgraded from novice. I've kept at least
see yours in the back.
This one is like two years old.
Oh, that one looks good.
He needs a new pot, though. He needs a new pot.
I just repotted it, really?
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay. Well, if you just repotted it, then yeah.
You're still a novice.
Okay, can I be like novice and a half? Novice plus?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay.
I mean, obviously eager to learn more. And what are your tips when somebody comes to you? Like, how do I keep a plant alive? Like, what are your tips?
Well, first I ask them about their living space. Do they have a lot of bright windows? You know, just about where they plan on keeping these plants and things like that. First, and then I always recommend, you know, like those three super easy ones to build up confidence. Because it's like really hard to kill, you know, like a snake plant or like a pothos or something like that. So I always recommend those first.
Okay.
But then I always tell people, like, you know, please research your plants, like learn their names. I want you to know their whole entire names. I want you to know what they like, where they like. You have to know what direct light is, indirect light, you know, all those different types of things. And then they get like all overwhelmed. They're like, oh my gosh, it's too much. And I'm like, no, it's really not. Like, it's a one-time check. Like, you just check it one time. Look it up one time, and then now you know. But I mean, it's also too, it's like, I killed a lot of plants, you know, in this journey when I first started. And then, I kind of got into like succulents and cacti because they were hard to kill and low maintenance and they were flourishing. And then I started getting into, I was like, let me try these house plants again. And then now I've like neglected all my succulents and cacti and I'm just like turning my house into a jungle-o.
How do they do with the smoke, like not getting any direct light?
I have a lot of grow lights in my house.
Okay.
Light bulbs. I have them like everywhere. You could just plug them into your regular, depending on kind of like any, you know, what is it called? A socket. You just, yeah. And then you have a light spectrum that they need. And there's so many different ones. You could get like a $10 little clip-on light that I have on Amazon. Cause then that's what people are like, oh, I don't have enough light. I was like, it's $10 on Amazon.
You can make your own light.
Yes, you could make it work.
Okay, I'll have to look for those. Cause yeah. I was just thinking with it being so much darker cause of the smoke, I was just thinking like in the winter when it's darker all the time, cause now I have like more plants that I got over the summer and now I'm seeing, they can't stay here.
It's not dark. Like it's not really, I mean, well, it depends on how many, you know, how much natural light you get in, but you always have a solution with grow lights. Same like with the gardening. Cause I started like my real garden this year.
Your garden is amazing. I am trying so hard to grow a tomato plant and you're like over here growing stuff on accident.
It's easy and it's not at the same time. I say that it's easy, but I'm also like checking on my plants like three times a day. Like who else has time to do that? You know, like
all of us now.
Checking on them like they're my children. I'm like, let me go look and see if they're okay. Let me da 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 da. So if it was like regular life, I probably wouldn't be giving them that much attention, but it's simple at the same time. It's really like nature does its thing. You just have to give it some water, give it some food, make sure it's in the right light spot. And then the bugs. Okay. Like I actually had to just completely strip my garden, cause I got infested with aphids. I never remember how to say that right. But I was okay. I wasn't like devastated. I would have been, but I wasn't because I think those are my spring plants. So they're eventually going to like die off anyways in like a couple weeks and I have to get ready for fall harvest. So I was like, okay, this is just, you know, it's just time.
Part of the process.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer though.
But yeah, I mean, I started everything inside though. You can literally grow your garden indoors. I just use my grow lights. And then I was like, I have space in the back. So let me try it outside. And then that's when I did the garden beds.
How do you keep your kids from touching your plants?
Because they know. That's the one thing they do know is not to touch my plants. Everything else, you know, I got to tell them 100 times that they know. I don't know if something in my tone, but they know not to touch my plants. Right? Like, yeah.
Okay, well, can you yell at my son? Because there's one succulent I had, and he picked it was one of those like flowering ones, and he picked them all off. And so my husband just bought me another one because this is
you
like
could weird. Propagate those though. You could propagate those leaves.
I should try. I tried that once, and it just like went down in a ball of flame. So maybe it's
time to blog about that. I have a tutorial on how to do that.
Okay. Well, when Nolan rips off every leaf off this damn succulent, I'm going to try and propagate them. But I saw him picking at it again. I was like, just stop.
Yeah. Well, I think I barked at him. You know, I was like, oh, no, not the plants. Like, don't mess with my plants.
So. It's our only joy right now. Please.
I know. I know my son, he's like, oh, can you donate some of these? I was like, I make him donate his toys, you know? I was like, no, we don't donate these. They're going to multiply. There's only going to get more.
You can donate them to me.
He's mad because they can't like throw balls and stuff in the house. But I think even if I didn't have plants, they still can't throw balls in the house. But I use that as the reason why they can't.
Boys.
Do you guys all, you have a daughter and a son?
I have one of each. Yeah. But Brittany has two boys.
Okay. So yeah, you feel me. You have a daughter. That's a whole other world. That's just,
you know what? They honestly wrestle so hard. And my son, like he did something to her today. Like he like clotheslined her just out of nowhere today. Like she's tough as nails. So
she is really tough. Yes.
So we really admire how vocal you've been about Black Lives Matter and social justice over the summer. I mean, obviously before then, but specifically over the summer. As moms, we believe it's important to be vocal about these issues, but some moms have such a hard time speaking up, whether, you know, it's because they feel like they can't speak up, they don't know enough, whatever it is. Can you talk a little bit about how you found your voice?
Well, let me just start with saying I grew up in San Francisco, the Bay Area, now I feel like it's really not even, but it's liberal, you know, pretty liberal, diverse.
Did you grow up in the city or just in the Bay?
I grew up in Daly City. Do you guys know where Daly City is?
Yeah, I grew up.
You know where Ocean Beach is?
Yeah, I grew up in like the South Bay, so not near like Santa Clara, so not quite up north on the peninsula as you were, but yeah, we probably had pretty similar childhoods then.
Yes. And then, so I grew up there until I was 15, and then I guess I was wilding out to my mom. So she moved me out to the suburbs in, Dublin. Have you guys heard of Dublin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So then I finished high school in Dublin. But, you know, like growing up in the Bay Area, it's like everybody looked like me. And, you know, I had a really diverse background. My mom and my dad, you know, they have friends from all walks of life, gay, straight, lesbian, you know, just I've seen it all. And I just was in that and I love it. And that's just normal to me. And I guess I had an assumption, you know, that like it was kind of like a lot of people had the same experiences, I guess, as me, but obviously, you know, they don't, but not to the extreme that I realize now, which is, I guess, too, what kind of motivated me to be more vocal about it. So I felt like, you know, after what happened with George Floyd was like the tipping point for kind of everybody at this point, and just the responses that I was seeing from, you know, my own friends and family. So, I mean, I guess I should say too, just to give a little background about myself. So I'm biracial, I guess not even biracial, I'm multiracial, but you know, I say I'm Black, my dad's Black. And then my mom, her mom is Filipino, Spanish, and Iberian. And her dad is white. He's German, Swiss, Irish, like all those, all the whites, you know, he's all that mixed up. And then there's me. So that's my background. And so I have a, you know, white side of my family, then I have my black side of the family. So I was seeing my white side of the family kind of posting, you know, things that were, you know, I was personally offended by it. It was like kind of questionable type things. Also, you know, close friends, and also even, you know, I guess you could call them colleagues of, you know, other local bloggers and things like that. And I was kind of like, it's like, oh, wait, hold up. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, I was confused as to their position on it, because I didn't feel like there was an alternate position on it. Like, everybody should be outraged. Like, everybody should want equality and justice, and everybody should want people to be treated fairly. So I was confused. I was like, okay, well, then maybe I need to start speaking more about it. Maybe I need to start posting more about it. Maybe I need to start vocalizing my personal stance and opinion on it more. And then also after George Floyd passed away, I was like really, really in a bad place. Like, I was really upset about it. And I was like, you know, I had to like take a step back from what, because, you know, I'm doing happy life, you know, like, you know, we know social media is curated, but it's like you're trying to keep upbeat, like everybody's, oh, it's pandemic. So you're trying to like keep positive and be all these happy things. And I just couldn't go back and start posting about tea again and stuff like that, you know, after that had happened. So I, you know, I've taken a step back and kind of reevaluated what I do, what I'm trying to do. And, you know, just reevaluate companies that I was working for. Cause I mean, I had like brand collabs lined up that I actually had to let them know. Like, I asked them, you know, like how their position is or what they, you know, stand for in our social climate and what's going on, and vocalizing things about it. And like some just completely ignored me. And then I was like, okay, well then I don't feel comfortable posting this anymore. And just being more conscious and intentional about who and what I'm working with and working to do and projecting. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah, we felt a lot of that same of like, how do we go on from this? Because it felt really weird, like you said, to be posting, you know, like life is normal when literally nothing was normal, from, you know, like the social justice aspect to pandemic to like everything just felt so foreign. And so, I mean, we still honestly are struggling with that of how do we talk about something that's not a current event, because it's dominating our lives right now. So
exactly. Yeah. That was, that was my other motivation too, because I'm like, I feel like, you know, these instances with police brutality and racism and discrimination, like it happens all the time. And then, you know, initially everybody's like, oh my God, like that's terrible. How did that happen? And da, 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 da. But then everybody, you know, they get over it and they just start going back to their normal lives. And I'm like, no, we can't just like continue to let these issues get brushed under the rug, I guess you can say, as far as like, well, with, you know, like Black people, like we're just dealing with it. We're like, oh, you know, making excuses for, oh, they don't know any better. Or, oh, you know, that's just the way things are. Cause I mean, it's like, I've just been having a lot of discussions with like a lot of people, like my sister, for example. I have a younger sister, she's 11 years younger than me. And so she basically grew up in Dublin versus growing up like in a city type environment. And so, like I said, I was around, you know, people who looked like me. And then when she was in Dublin, it was like, you know, predominantly white. And she had a completely different experience than I did, because I'm confident in myself and my hair and just how I look. And I'm not like, you know, skinny like these other people, like, but I was okay with that. Like, I embraced my differences and things like that. But she, unfortunately, like, didn't. She had a hard time. And, you know, we were talking about how my mom, because my mom, she's white, I guess. We'll just say she's white. So she's white, and like how she dealt with us coming to her about issues that we were having, and just kind of like, oh yeah, like that's just, you know, kind of what you have to deal with type of thing in life. So it's like, So my sister, me, I'm, because we have different personalities. Like me, I'm like, okay, I'll stand up for myself. Like I've literally had to like punch a kid in the face. Like I got suspended in like seventh grade for punching this boy in the face for calling me the N-word. And, you know, I got home and my dad asked me what happened. And I told him what happened. He's like, oh, good job. And then my mom's like, don't tell her that. She shouldn't, you know, she shouldn't be hitting people. And I'm like, you know, I stand up for myself. My sister
shouldn't be
more,
calling people that. So
exactly. Like my sister, she's more like reserved and quiet and like doesn't really stand up for herself. So she embraced that kind of dialogue, I guess my mom was saying to her differently, like, oh, you just have to put up with discrimination, I guess, in other words. So it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, I've had to have conversations with my own mom, feeling like she's not doing enough or like doing her part enough and things like that. It's just been a lot. It's been a lot to navigate.
I'm sure we have. So our audience, we've been much more vocal than we have ever been in the past. We thought that was important, especially to our predominantly white suburb mothers audience.
Yeah, I see you guys out there. You guys are doing
We've gotten a lot of, this is a mom blog. You shouldn't talk about politics here. You shouldn't talk about these things here.
Well, because we played that game for a long time. And
I mean, I was playing that game to a certain extent. It's like, but now it's not really even, it's not politics.
Right. And I think it started to get to a point where it didn't feel genuine for Brittany and I to not talk about it, because in our personal conversations, this is all we were talking about. So now we just don't talk about it at all. Like it's dominating the conversations I'm having with everybody in my life. And now I just have to, I'm a mom, I can't talk about this. Like that's so dumb.
Yeah, I see that a lot too. And it's like, it's frustrating. Because it's like, well, that was another thing that I had wrote down in my notes too. It's like, I was frustrated and I guess even like just hurt for like the just general, like my people, I feel like that, you know, people didn't care. I was like, you guys really don't fucking care. It's only like about things that, cause I guess I'll use for an example, like some people that I was, friends with, I guess you can say, loosely, you know, we're like real vocal about the COVID and like, oh, there are businesses and they're doing so, like, you know, real vocal. And like, so you could talk about things and you could, you know, speak your mind about these issues. Controversial, not, you know, just your trips to Target and, you know, what you're making for lunch. So I know you can talk about it and you have passion about something, but then when it's not personally affecting you, then you're like silent about it. So I felt some type of way about that because I'm like, I'm a Leo too. So I'm, you know, like I'm loyal and I, you know, I have people's back. Are you a Leo?
I'm married to a Leo.
Oh, poor you. No, it's a good thing. We're great. We're amazing. We're loyal and, you know, we'll fight for you till the end. And I just, you know, I just feel like I'm a equal rights, you know, pro equal rights for everybody. And I feel like I've been, you know, speaking for everybody on everything. And if it's, you know, like some type of discrimination. So when it was for Black people and I saw people quiet about it, I got like, you know, I like started being like, that's strange. Like, why is that? And then, you know, over time people show themselves and then I know why. And then I'm like, damn, I'm like, okay.
I know it's really made it, for example, like my school circle. I don't know how I'm going to look some of these people in the eye if we ever go back to school. It's
right. What kills me is this argument of, well, aren't we all entitled to our own opinions? What happened to, I can have my opinion? And since when is racism an opinion?
That is what I'm confused about. I'm like super confused because I'm like, wait, people are because they get it all, you know, entwined with the protest and the riot. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about why this is happening, you know? or they do and they don't care or they don't understand.
I think it's just a way for them to rationalize it for themselves, because to call it racism, I mean, that's hard to confront in yourself. Yeah,
because people don't like that word.
No.
That word really triggers people. So there was something I was talking about, but I was like, I need to find a new phrase for it so that people don't. And
we need to rebrand it. Or we?
Yeah. Like, so people don't immediately just like shut down and get defensive about it because I'm not racist, you know?
Well, I think it's because the definition hasn't evolved.
I was going to start calling it a superiority complex.
I like that. The problem with the term racism is that it hasn't evolved. I mean, to so many people that I know, if you're not burning a cross in a Black person's yard, then you're not a racist. And it's
right.
Beyond that now.
Exactly. It is. And then people, I don't think, because I get real deep, like I'm real into like psychology and
yes, you are our people.
In the study of people. So it's like, you don't even realize your subconscious thoughts of just what you think when you see a Black person, for example, or see a Mexican person or an Asian person. Like, you have a preconceived notion. So that's what, because I just am on a journey of just being more mindful of my thoughts. So I just want you, not you, but I just mean you, like every fucking body, people, to be more mindful of your thoughts. Like, just start thinking about it and be like, okay, maybe, yeah. And it's not, you're not a bad person. This is things that have been programmed in our minds through movies. Like, all movies with Black people, it's so stereotypical. Any other nationality, it's a stereotype of whoever created the stereotype of these people. And that's what we go on. You know what I mean? If you don't know any better. And it's deep. It's really not just a surface of, oh, I don't like you just because you're Black or just because you're whatever. It's way deeper than that. And that's what I think people are choosing not to want to dig deeper into.
Well, yeah, it's hard. And it is uncomfortable. And it makes you confront some really kind of ugly things about yourself. And who wants to do that?
Yeah, it's the shadow work, but shadow work is good. It's good. That's part of creating that balance within ourselves. And then it bleeds off to everything. Like, I'm like, y'all, like the shit, damn, like, I'm just so confused, like, about the pushback towards, you know, racism and social injustices and just, you know, even the LGBTQ community and immigrants and women's rights. Like, why is there so much pushback about, like, what are they doing to you? Like, or what do you think is, because, you know, it's about self, like, oh, something, like, if that happens, then something's gonna happen. Like, I don't get that part. Do you guys know what it is?
God, I wish.
I do spend a lot of time thinking about that, because like you said, like the psychology of this, like, really truly fascinates me. And the only thing I can come up with is that it's, first of all, the work is hard, and it's born out of fear more than anything. It has to be. And that resistance to change, because there's this feeling of, if I give these things that I have built my life on and benefited so greatly from to these people, then there's less for me. But it's not quantifiable. Like, these rights aren't, like, there's not like 100 of them and that's all there is. Like, everybody can have these same things.
High for everybody.
Right. And when we all have these things, like, we all do better. A rising tide lifts all boats, or, you know, whatever that is.
And it's so simple. Like, we can all be winning.
Right.
We can all be winning. Obviously there's levels to that, but we all don't want the same things, but I mean, we all could be winning, like, and it just doesn't make any sense. I keep saying, cause I'm so confused, guys. Like, my husband's so irritated when he's like, I'm like, Donna, I just don't understand.
I listened to Donald Trump.
Like, why don't you understand? I was like, I don't understand it, because like you just said, it's like, it's a fear. It's a lack mentality. And I feel like capitalism breeds that. And, you know, like the fact, oh, I don't want to pay higher taxes because I don't want to pay for somebody who's not doing anything, or this, that, and the other. Like, guys, like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I know, but that's that's what they've been fed their whole lives. Yeah. That's what they think. And it's, but I mean, you know, like all these people, they want to say that people take advantage of welfare or this, that, and the other thing. Then pay them a livable wage, and then maybe it wouldn't be more beneficial for them to stay on welfare. I mean, it's just really, all like
how many people are doing that though?
Exactly. Exactly.
How is that actually really hurting you though?
Exactly. I mean, you're going to pay it either way, right? Yeah, and like, there are plenty of countries with socialist governments that still thrive on capitalism. It can be done. It's just, mm-hmm. we got to burn it all down first. Not literally, I feel like I need to say that. But like we do, we all need a hard reset to like start over.
And I think that's what like these series of events are like doing, to be perfectly honest, like 2020, like it's like before the Black Lives Matter, you know, movement just erupted back again. It was the pandemic and everybody had to pause. We had to slow down and reevaluate. And then also, you know, there's people whose jobs like, okay, well, you've been dedicating all your time and life to these jobs and now they just have to let you go. So what, like, where are your priorities? Where have your priorities been? What really matters? So that was it first, okay? We needed that first. That's why it was happening in a series sequence on purpose, you know? So we needed to see that first. And then now it's like, you know, it got magnified to this. And it's like, what really matters? And like the people who are like fighting against these things are the ones who need it the most. And
yes.
Insane to me, I guess. Yeah, because it's insanity to me. Because I'm like, yo, you're fighting against like things that can benefit you. Like, you really think you're going to become a billionaire like Donald Trump by working hard at your 9-to-5? Like, I'm so confused.
If you just worked a little harder.
Newsflash, yeah. Things are set up on purpose, so that never happens.
Exactly.
Like, it's like an MLM. Like,
it really, oh my God, I said that to AJ the other day. I was like, this.
It's exactly like an MLM.
Yeah. It really is.
I want to do like, we should all do it together, actually. I want to like, yeah, I feel like we could. I want to do a documentary about MLMs, but like not the little, like, cause I'd be watching these documentaries about them and I'm like, oh my God, I need more. I was like, it's so interesting.
Yeah,
it's like, how does this happen? Because it's so cultic. Oh gosh, let's get on the culty thing. And how do people just get into that? And it's like selling them this pipe dream. But I'm like, cause see, I don't take things at face value. Like, I'm like, okay.
You are so a six.
Like, they told me that and they're like, oh, okay, then that's, I'm like, no, actually, let me do my research real quick and let me see like what, you know, alternatives could actually be. And then I will make my own assessment on da 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 da. But yeah, it's just crazy. I'm like, you guys are going to make me like mess around and like run for office or something.
Yeah.
Like, do it. I'll work on your campaign.
Shoot. Yeah, let's do it. Because that's another thing too. I'm like, okay, well, what the hell can I actually really do? Like, what can I really do? And that's, I'm still trying to find that. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, like I'm just not ready to be out in these streets yet. Like just around people and, you know, Cause you know, people could call me whatever, like I'm fearful, but I'm just unsure. Like I'm so unsure because there's so much information out there. Like I literally do not know what to believe anymore. So I'm like, if I have the privilege to stay in my little, you know, bubble at home and work from home and just, you know, we can stand each other. Like me and, you know, we are already together all the time. Then let me just do that until further notice. But, I definitely want to look into getting more involved just like on the local levels, because I also believe that that's what we all need to do, is like, we're not participating in our democracy. That's another thing. All these people shouting and complaining and fighting for this. Like, do you even know who your local representatives are? Do you know the initiatives and bills and all these things that are being brought up, you know, on our next ballot? Probably not. So it starts there. And I think we all need to get involved
more. For sure. I have listened to more local government meetings via Zoom this year than I have. Honestly, I think the last time I listened to any of this was in 12th grade government class when we had to go for like credit. We had to go listen to a school board meeting or something. Now I'm like every board of supervisors meeting, every school district meeting. But it's true. Those local governments really do decide so much about your day-to-day life, way more than the federal government does. So
exactly, way more than that. And that's why too, like with this whole election thing, I was like, we're not even really vote. Like, what does the president really do? Like, you know, Trump makes these executive orders that never come to fruition. Right. Okay. It's just all bullshit. But the point of it is he's a representation of us as a whole. And, you know, my feelings will be so hurt if he's reelected. And that's so that's how you really feel. Like, so that's the thing. It's like, you know, you're voting for when they say like, oh, he's done that. I'm like, no, like literally what has he really done? Like, because people don't like, I'm like, what is the actual job description? Like, what do you actually literally do? I'm talking about in detail, like what does he do when he steps into his office and sits there, and what is he actually really doing? Like, him talking about what he's doing doesn't mean anything to me.
I would love just like some like behind the scenes footage of what he is doing in the Oval Office every day.
It's probably
like our kids scratching his butt and touching his face.
Exactly. Not paying attention.
Oh my gosh.
Taking all the leaves off of plants.
Yeah, exactly. When is PE again? 5 minutes.
Oh man. This was so great. So we ask our guests their okayest mom moment. Do you have one prepared?
I don't know what you guys meant by that.
Just like a moment, it's kind of an embarrassing moment, but you also don't really care because they're kids and we're doing our best and doesn't really fucking matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let me try and think. Okay, I have an example for you.
Okay.
So my son, he's been going to preschool 2 days a week, and we had just gotten to the parking lot to drop him off, and we're a little bit early. So my kids like to unbuckle and like walk around the van, and they think that's like super cool. And all of a sudden he goes, Mom, I got to go pee. And I'm like, okay, well, let's get out and go inside, you know, to like the real toilet. And I keep a little potty seat in the back of my van just like for extreme emergencies, because my son is like the king of like, I got to pee right now. And so before I could even say anything, I turn around and he's back there sitting on the little potty seat. And I'm like, dude, no, just wait. And he's sitting. So are you going pee or poo? And I'm just yelling, pee or poo, pee or poo. And nobody's answering me. And so then all of a sudden I find out it's poop. And so I'm like, dude, really? You couldn't just have waited just like 2 more minutes to get inside. And so luckily I had a plastic bag to like a dog, like, and then the bag leaked all out of your car.
Oh gosh.
So now my car smells like pee, but I can't roll the windows down because it's so smoky outside. So it's either smoke or pee. And so if you smell my car, you know, it's fine. It's just pee.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that just can't be helped with boys.
Totally. Oh my God.
I'm constantly trying to mask smells in my house. shoot. Okay. I feel like there's so many, but I can't think of any. my okayest mom moment. I don't know. Okay. The one that just comes to my head right now, I guess, was kind of like embarrassing for me, was when we were looking for a house and we were like with the realtor or whatever, you know, she just was in her regular, corporate office wear, like she didn't have her makeup done or anything, whatever. And then she hands us her business card. And then my son's like, that's you? And she's all like airbrushed and like had her makeup. And I was like, oh my God, like, dude, I was like, you don't say that out loud. It was embarrassing. That was embarrassing.
I mean, he notices Photoshop faces. I think that's
right, because his parents are Photoshop masters. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're working a lot on inside thoughts and like things you don't have to say.
Yeah. That's why I like some. I'm like, don't say anything while we're out here. Okay. I was like, if they even ask you a question, just say yes or no. Don't elaborate because talking too much.
Oh, they'll keep you honest, these kids.
Oh yeah, no, they do, definitely. That's a whole nother psychology.
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Erica. You are just a breath of fresh air. It's just, it's so nice to know that we're not crazy and there are other people who think what we think.
Yes, no, me, ditto. You know, thanks for having me. And I, you know, I see all the stuff that you guys post and, you know, getting the conversations going, and it's great. And we have to keep doing it and having those tough conversations. And, you know, like you said, like some people are still scared and unsure, but I think if we keep doing it and start normalizing it more, so it's not so, you know, taboo or whatever, that I know that things will get better. That's my thing. I feel like, you know, it's going to get worse, but it's going to get good, better for the most part. And that's what I'm holding on to.
I love that outlook. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.